There, Lord, see me through these hard times. In troubled times, I am filled with unspeakable fears. I reach out my hand to you now and ask you to walk beside me. I cannot carry all my burdens, but I know you can and will. Please walk beside me. Please guide me. Please help me to hold on strong through the trials and storms. Help me to hold on to my faith. In even the darkest hour, stay with me, Lord, and show me your way. In your love and Holy Spirit, I abide. Amen.
Amen.
And blessed good morning, my St. Sebastian family and friends of St. Sebastian. Please be very comfortable. And I am not standing here and not in the pulpit because I did not prepare a sermon. Because I'm dead. And you know why I did? I got here around 7 o'clock this morning. And I sat in my office and looked to the reflections of the lessons. And somehow the Spirit said to me, some people will show up at 8 o'clock. What will we say? So said, so done. And I walked out to greet them. And there were visitors. And the conversation that was told to me by my altar girl and my lens was, did you tell them to come back at 9:30? What did the Bible say? Where two or three are gathered in my name, God is in the midst. So what did I do? I got dressed. And I had a sermon with the three of us, the four of us, a service. I went into the reserve sacrament, couldn't find the key. And I said to my altar girl, the priest should never have a difficulty in finding anything. But I found it. And I was able to get one of them to come and read the wonderful lesson of Paul, his letter to the Ephesians, to the Galatians. Oh, I like it. To the Galatians. We got Eucharist. And they were happy. One gentleman said to me, I was in this church my first 15 years of my life. All true, I was an acolyte, but I had fallen away from the church. But I came to the Beaufort at the Christmas Eve service. They said they had such a wonderful time. He said, I know I need to come back to God. And he said, when he had the body and blood for the first time in so many years, he left so filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what I call the Word becoming flesh. And doing what? Living among us in the body and blood of Christ. Yeah. There were only four of us, and I had a good time. And they left third. So this is my second service, just to let you know. But that's okay, because I'm going to have just as good a time now as I had before. You know, I looked at the lessons, and we all Christians always hear Paul letting to what type of Galatians were they called? Foolish Galatians. And you say, why would Paul call them foolish? They were not rather foolish, but what had happened is we were, in my call today, is like a new world order. If you listen to my prayer, we are all in a life of brokenness of some sort in our lives. And don't care who you are. If you tell me your life is perfect, then I'll sit and you can then tell me how to get my perfect. But we are all in some form of brokenness. Whether it's in our relationship, with our relationship with God, or just our relationship with work, or just in general, something about us feels broken. That's why when we come here on Sunday, we look for that place of solace where we live in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul was speaking to the people of Galatia. And this was in one of his many journeys. And he had done such a masterful work. But he had made it clear to them that you do not need to be circumcised to be accepted as one in Jesus Christ. Or you did not need to convert to Jew to be a Jew. You were as good as you are, just like you and I are all brothers and sisters on the one Jesus Christ. Black, blue, yellow, green, pink, white. We have all been accepted in the new world order. As John said in his gospel, in the beginning was the word was flesh, and it dwelt among us. Jesus is among us each day. But the people of Galatia, now, do many people know what is called Galatia today? When I say you, can I all get the ahas together? Turkey.
Right?
That's Galatia. And all you have to do is to listen to your news of what is going on. Still the same issues. We are thousands of years later, but we are still challenged with those understanding real Christ is born. And the false prophets came after Paul had left and told him they had to be circumcised, they had to change the Jewish law. So Paul was frustrated. Can you remember your days? And anyone can put their hands who were a school teacher here or had been taught in Sunday school? And you had a class and you thought the most beautiful, it's something new, and you knew you had practice and you got it right. And the class said, yes, yes. And you went home and goes, I taught this new lesson today, and they all got it. And you come back next week and you go like, jeez, they all seem like you're the same place you were before. That's what happened to the people of Galatia. So Paul was frustrated, but he had continued his journey and he had already, what we would say, checked the box. He had checked the Galatian people. I had you. You were converted. You got baptism. You received the Holy Spirit. I can move on now to Rome, the others. So then you realize that you got a message that they had lost their way again. So that's why the letter to the Galatians was not Paul speaking to the Galatians in person. He had not penned a letter to tell them, come on. And it happens. It even happens today. You know, it's so funny. My stories keep going on in life here at Melbourne Beach, and sooner or later someone's going to say something. I met on Thursday night, one of our toughest nights, myself and my family. I went out to get something for my family to eat. And I was sitting waiting for the food, and I got into it. It's a familiar place I go to, and I said, hi, good night, Father Gary, good night, Father Gary. And someone always wants to talk to the priest. He says, if there's a God, I am an atheist. If there's a God, why does he let bad things happen? Why are there people starving? And why are there people struggling in the world? And I said to him, I'll give you the easy answer. Because it's the free will. He goes, that's what everybody says all the time. What is the free will? It means it's all will. God has given us a life and a grace. And it's all will for what can happen to us. Or what we expect. Or what we do in our lives. It's our free will. But I said to him, and I didn't want to preach a sermon to him. But what I chose easily was, on Wednesday we had our healing service. We celebrated the feast of St. Stephen. And I don't know if you remember Stephen in Acts of the Apostles. Stephen was the first person to die for Jesus Christ. And he was stoned to death. But it was important that his death was not without loss. Because by his death, he was the first person that stepped out and said, this Jesus gospel, this wonderful Jesus we love, it's not just for the Jewish people. It's for everyone. And what happened? They stoned him to death. And do you remember who had given the authority to stone him to death? Do we all do? Can I say it?
Paul.
And what happened that same time to Paul? He got what?
Blinded.
And what has Paul now done? He has wrote so many letters that we are now witnesses to his ministry. That's why it says in our lives there will be sacrifices. There are many of you who are part of the take on the responsibility to fight and defend this country. Your sacrifice was for love of country and love of freedom that we all now have. Yes, God loves us all in our brokenness. And yes, he would love a world that was filled with milk and honey. But knowing us all, we still would find some reason not to be satisfied because There's a devil. There's our brokenness. This morning, what I wanted to relate to you, that we start a new year in 2 days. We are all in a brokenness. But I want us to build a better life on how we feel. Where is Christ really sitting in our hearts? Is he your all in all? Is he just Sunday at 8 or 10:30? Are we getting up and saying every morning, Heavenly Father, I thank you for another day? And as I say to you, I get up every morning, the first thing I ask God for, I want you to do it. I ask him for more time. I ask him for more time. Because if you're going to ask him to give you all the other good health, what do you need to get good health? Time. You can't get health unless you're here. You can get good health in your neck? No! So you ask for what you want. So you ask God for more time. A new year will come. I am blessed to be here in the greatest part of the world, ministering to the greatest people on the earth. You know what I hear my friend says? The members of your church are... They use the word old, but I don't call you old. I call you special. He said, but you know what? They live life like it's the best time of their lives. And whatever you are doing, continue to do even more and better. But remember, it's by God's grace. That grace that gives you the strength to be who you are and to be what you are. Yes, this morning I now have to sit on the stairs to tie my laces. Before I could just bend over and tie my laces. Things will change. But change does not mean an end. Change means a transition for who you are and what you want to be. I take on more debt. I take on more experience from the year. But I say it's God's grace that's going to give me. And you know when I decided to make myself and my family happy, what I decided? I also pray, God, I'm also going to give you more. Because you have given me more. We must be thankful. We've got to be thankful for so many blessings. You know, this is our fifth Sunday. And everyone in the church forgot it was going to be the fifth Sunday. So they're not sure if we were going to have a potluck. But even if we have 2 crackers, we will break them in 5, just like he took the 5 loaves. I guarantee we'll have enough. We just have to trust and have faith. He has provided for you this far. He is not going to turn from you. Am I too long? Nobody's answering. I don't know who's listening. But what? In John, this is the beginning of the gospel. In John's gospel, because John was the last, this is the last gospel written. And John was just making sure that he got every period. It's like those people who write a book, and there are members in our church who write books like this, but they don't want to miss one part of the information. And that was John. John was very detailed. Because John wanted to say, when you read the gospel of John, you got it. And if you don't got it, read it again and you will get it. My brothers, we don't have a New Year's Eve service, which is something I love. And I hope that 5 or 6 of you will say, yes, we want to come here on New Year's Eve and celebrate the New Year, having a mass of thanksgiving for all of our lives and to bring the blessings of the New Year. When you come to the altar today for your Eucharist, give God the thanks for the year that has passed and the blessings that will come to you, because I am having them, and because I have the blessings, I am pouring them out on you, because I cannot carry this burden, what? Alone. I ask of each of you to join me in giving all praise and thanks for the goodness and the graciousness. What did our psalmist say to us today? He has established peace on our under borders. He satisfied you with the finest meat. You are the finest meat, and you are satisfied. You are satisfied with the love and the blessings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Go on your way. Give God thanks for proclaim his name, be a good neighbor to everyone you meet. And more of all, when you wake up each morning, what would you ask God for?
More time.
Amen.